Welcome to Between Two Ovaries,
our women's health podcast,
where we'll be telling you the facts and debunking the myths.
We'll be keeping it chatty and casual, and you can follow us on Instagram at Between Two Ovaries.
Hello and welcome back. This is the HRT Lowdown.
So this episode is all about women who have decided that they want HRT and importantly have been told that they can have it by their GP, so they don't have any medical issues. They already know the risks and the benefits, but this is everything else you need to know about the types and the different ways you can take it. And we have lots of questions from you that you've sent in.
Which is great, obviously. I think we wanted to do this episode fundamentally because people are like, right, I've got all these awful symptoms. I really want to go on HRT, and they get put on HRT, but they actually don't know why they're on the different bits. That I've got these two things, I've got a patch and I've got a tablet, or I've got a patch but I have to change it to a different patch every couple of weeks. And I have a lot of people that I see that they don't know why they've got these two different bits of HRT, and sometimes they have three different bits because they'll have testosterone as well. And I think it's really important to know why you've got these different bits of HRT.
And because, to know how it works as well.
Well, yeah, and then it allows you to understand what they're doing, and it then makes sure that you understand that they're really important to have both bits.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back really easily to the menstrual cycle. So
yeah.
I feel like everything
that does
goes,
a lot.
Everything goes back to the menstrual cycle. So when you've decided that you're going on HRT, there's two hormones that you need. Do you want to tell us why we need both hormones?
Yes. So it's a little recap of what the two main hormones are in the female reproductive system. So you've got estrogen and you've got progesterone. So estrogen is the hormone that causes the lining of the womb to thicken. So it grows, it gets thicker. And then progesterone is the hormone that doesn't make it thicker, but it makes it sort of more suitable for an embryo to implant after ovulation. Obviously, this is when you are premenopausal, yeah. Not when you are menopausal.
Yeah.
But that's what those hormones do to the lining of the womb, to the endometrium. And also, I think we should just say, you know, what exactly the menopause is, because it's a word that we use a lot and we don't necessarily know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So before you go through the menopause, you have periods. Well, women have periods. Yeah. And then the menopause is defined as when you have not had periods continuously for 1 year.
Yeah.
But there is also the kind of perimenopausal period, which is a different length of time. It varies person to person. And it's the time, like the few years leading up to the end of your periods, where your periods are a bit more erratic. They might be
heavier, lighter, closer together,
irregular,
further apart.
Yeah.
More annoying.
Like you think you've gone through it all when you're having periods and trying not to get pregnant and then get pregnant, and then the menopause happens and it goes all haywire again.
Yeah.
It's all very complicated.
It isn't in a sense of kind of like you can have help for this stage of your life. And I think it's great that there's been so much publicity about the menopause, so people are kind of thinking about how we can adapt the workplace and how we can help people on an individual basis, because everybody's going to have different symptoms, and it's kind of how we can treat these symptoms. Now, if you've got loads of stress in your life and you've had like things that have happened and you're going through a bad time and you happen to be 45, I don't think that HRT cures everything, and I want to put that as like a little caveat. So this is for people that have decided that they do want to go on HRT because their symptoms potentially could be improved by going on HRT. And I think it's always good to think about it as a trial at first. It's not a one-size-fits-all. When you go on, like, the pill, people are like, go on, microgynon. It's cheap and it works and let's have a go at this. But actually, it doesn't help with acne for some people, or it just doesn't suit you because your boobs are really sore all the time, or like I think it's not a one size fits all, so you've got to kind of think it as a bit of a trial and error, like other things in life.
That kind of brings us quite nicely to if we have a talk about, like, first of all, why you get the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause, so what's actually happening in your body, and then also what those symptoms are, because everyone experiences different symptoms. And I'm sure you guys have probably heard of some of
heard
them.
Heard of a few,
yeah.
So when, as we said before, the two main hormones, you've got estrogen and progesterone, the reason you start to have perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms is actually because we have a finite number of eggs. Yeah. And as we mentioned in our previous episode, you know, you will never release all of the eggs that you have that you're born with. But at some point, the eggs start to degenerate and you no longer release one every month. So as a result of that, you then get a rise in those two hormones that tell your body to release an egg. They're FSH and LH.
They're basically battering your ovaries and they're like, come on, release
work
an
harder.
Egg, work harder.
And your poor little shrunken ovaries are like, no,
I have nothing left to give. Honestly, this is how I explain it to people. And that's why you have your periods all over the shop.
Yeah.
Because they just release an egg every time that they get bombarded into it.
And it might have been like a few months before.
That's why the chance of twin pregnancies get higher when you get older. Oh. Because you're like, okay, well, I'll release two then. And just like release a couple at once.
Just all becomes a bit chaotic.
Yeah, it does become quite chaotic.
And then you also get, like, obviously your estrogen levels will go lower as a result of that. And then a lot of the menopausal symptoms that you guys have probably heard of.
Mostly people complaining about them. Yeah.
So a lot of those symptoms are due to the estrogen being lower.
Yeah.
What have you heard of? What kind of symptoms?
Flushes.
Hot flashes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The random sweats during the middle of the day and you're just like, what's going on here?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Vaginal dryness.
Basically, the estrogen is what kind of just makes you kind of be on a steady state of having lots of great stuff in your life. And it really helps with your tissues and the elasticity of your tissues. And that's why it's like, that's the important hormone that will help with symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the estrogen part of HRT is the bit that helps with all of these symptoms, basically.
Yeah.
Heard of people having physical changes as well, like changes in the texture of the hair and changes in the skin.
Yeah,
people can get thinner hair on their head and then more hair on their chins.
Just like
chins. Or one more than one chin.
But then, yeah, physical changes actually affect the vulva and the vagina quite a lot around perimenopause and menopause because your estrogen is lower, so then the skin is thinner, less elastic, drier as well, so sex can be painful. And we can, we'll go on to talk about things that you can do to help that, but that's a big symptom too.
So the hormones levels have kind of dropped, and this FSH and LH are kind of really risen because they're the ones that are like trying to batter your hormones into working. I just wanted to touch briefly on that people are kind of like, can I have a blood test to check that I'm menopausal? And again, it's a continuum. And if you've got symptoms where you're saying I'm waking up every single night and the bed sheets are soaking, does it matter if your FSH is like 15 or 30?
Like, you're struggling.
If you're struggling, then if you've kind of decided and the risk benefit ratio and everything is right for you to go on treatment, then that's fine. I don't think there needs to be this blood test.
If you've been diagnosed as menopausal.
It's not, I think that's totally the right word. It's not a diagnosis, it's kind of a symptom relief situation. Mm. Because there are textbook diagnoses of menopause, and this depends on what the number of that hormone, the FSH, is. Mm. But I genuinely don't think it matters.
No.
And I think it's like a you, and are you yourself, and are you struggling? And if you are, then if you're suitable, you could trial HRT. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things where we can medicalise menopause, and there's benefits to having medication to help with the symptoms, but it is a natural process of all women's lives. At some point, you will go through the menopause.
Just like everyone went through puberty.
Exactly.
Just like your period started at a certain point, but, you know, it wasn't a situation. It's not a situation where, like, if your periods start in that normal age range, you need to worry about when they're going to start.
Yeah.
Like, you want to know because it's important to know. But same with menopause, you know, there's a kind of, like, safe age range that will happen in, and probably it will happen at some point, and you don't necessarily need a diagnosis.
And what is the age range?
Well, the average age in the UK is 51, but it can vary. So anything from above 45 is normal. Anything less than 45 is possibly a little bit premature menopause.
Yeah.
Everyone's different. And a lot of times, I don't know if this is how true this is, but they ask you, like, when your mum went through menopause, because there's a bit of a genetic... There's a genetic link.
So if your mum kind of went through menopause early, you might be more liable to go through menopause early. And there are some conditions that would make you again, yeah. more often you would go through premature ovarian insufficiency, so you would go through menopause earlier. We will touch more on those on like a specialist episode that we're going to do. We're hoping to get a few special guests on, and one of those will go into premature ovarian insufficiency. So we'll touch on all the conditions that can cause that, because people obviously are concerned about that from a fertility side quite often. So I think it would be quite good to talk through that.
And how long does menopause like last? I know that it's different for everyone.
Well, menopause is actually just like the end of your period, so it'll be just from the end of your periods until the end of your life. But perimenopause can last for different.
And perimenopause is more where you get a lot of the symptoms.
Well, perimenopause is when you sort of start to, as we were describing before, like not release an egg every month. It becomes a bit more erratic. So you might start to have symptoms of lower estrogen. So like erratic periods, maybe some hot flushes, signs of estrogen being low. That can last for varied amounts of time. It could be a year, it could be 7 or 8 years. But then once you've had a year of no periods, that's when you are classed as menopausal. And then you are menopausal until you are no longer alive.
Yeah.
What next is
brother?
Yeah. That's a really
lovely bit.
Very morbid.
Actual. So very quickly touching on this. So if you had bleeding after, when you've had a year of not bleeding, if you had bleeding, you must see a medical practitioner, because you shouldn't randomly have bleeding when you're postmenopausal. It's postmenopausal bleeding and you need to see somebody about it. So that's just a little caveat, because I think people are kind of like, oh, well, it wasn't that long ago. And I'm like, if it's over a year, you need investigating.
Definitely. And we can probably touch, we'll talk a little bit later on about the different types of HRT, because some of them you will have bleeding and some of them you shouldn't, and then we'll talk a bit about when maybe you should go and see a GP when we talk about that.
So we need two hormones for HRT, okay? So it's a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't take the progesterone because it wasn't agreeing with me. The estrogen's really helping my symptoms. Or people will be like, oh, I've got my Mirena in and it's helping my symptoms, so I'm not taking the estrogen. And you have these conversations actually day in, day out, because people don't understand the importance of taking them both.
So we should just say, before we start talking about the different types, if you're a woman with a uterus, if you have a womb, you need both. If you don't have a uterus, if you've had a hysterectomy, you don't need the progesterone. So we'll start talking first about women who have a uterus, maybe.
You need them both if you've got a womb. Because the progesterone isn't helping with symptoms. The progesterone is protecting the lining of your womb. That is literally all it's doing. So as we said, estrogen thickens up that lining of the womb. So if you were just taking estrogen with no progesterone, the estrogen would just be like bombarding that lining of the womb to be getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And when the line of the womb's getting thicker, it's got the potential to get thicker in an abnormal way. So hyperplasia, atypical hyperplasia, endometrial cancer. So you can't just take estrogen. The estrogen just thickens the lining of the womb. It might be completely helping you with all your symptoms and you're like, oh, I'm a new woman, it's great. But it will be completely detrimental to the lining of your womb. So you have to take the progesterone to protect the lining of your womb. So anybody who's got a uterus needs estrogen and progesterone. So womb in place, need progesterone. And there are some people that still need progesterone that don't have a womb in place. These are a small subset of people that have got endometriosis. Sometimes after they've had their womb removed would still need progesterone to kind of dampen down their symptoms of endometriosis. But as we said, we could go on to that on our like specialist
our more complicated HRT.
episode where we'll have
a medical specialist as well.
But on the whole, no womb, no progesterone. Womb, definitely need progesterone.
But some people also have testosterone.
They do.
So where does that one come into play?
So it kind of didn't used to come into play a lot, testosterone. Testosterone now comes more into play and it's kind of more given in hospital rather than GP setting for people for libido is testosterone. It's a difficult one because I think it's not just libido. People say it can help with their like brain fog as well. But back to that kind of caveat that we put in at first, that HRT will help with lots of different things, but if you're living a life that you don't like living currently because lots of things are going on, HRT won't make you be living a better life, if that makes sense. So I think it's difficult, especially with testosterone, because I think you'll have some people that will be like, now I'm on testosterone, my libido is great, my life's great, everything's great. And so people are like, oh, well, I should go on that. I've had no sex drive for 15 years. You know,
this will bring it back.
Since I have my kids, I've not had sex drive. But if I start this testosterone now that I'm 52, I'm currently going to, and that's probably not going to happen. So I think you need to be realistic, like you do with loads of stuff in life. Like, you need to be realistic.
And it won't affect everyone the same way.
It definitely won't affect people the same way. And you can also have this kind of tolerance level where you think you kind of need to have your, if you've got an implant, change more and more, you need more and more testosterone to have the same effect. So people can have quite high levels, which could give you side effects. So it's something that has to be monitored a little bit more if you go on testosterone.
To keep, like, that makes it quite nice and simple, because obviously we started this episode with the knowledge that a lot of people find it a bit overwhelming, like, oh, there's so many different things to think about with HRT. But when you break it down, really, you've got sort of two main hormones, the third one that you might
sometimes
or might not need.
Sometimes just pop in when you
estrogen, mostly for your symptoms, progesterone to keep the lining of your womb thin, or in certain situations if you've had endometriosis, and then maybe testosterone, maybe not, but maybe
that's personal person.
So it is actually quite simple when you think about what the hormones do.
And it's quite simple to break it down into how you can take them as well. Progesterone can be taken in one of three ways. So you can have progesterone in the form of a Myrina coil, which we have discussed in one of our previous episodes. We are big believers in the Myrina coil, and we have loads and loads of women that are really, really happy with a Myrina coil in situ. And this is because the progesterone into uterine devices, as per the Myrina coil, thin out the line of the womb, sit there, so you've got a localised effect protecting that lining of the womb, and it's not giving you symptoms in the rest of your body, like you've not got all these other progesterone effects that people can really suffer with. It's just sat there protecting the line of your womb, literally living its best life, while you can titrate your estrogen to exactly how you need to have it. So Myrina, good option. That can be left in place for 5 years as part of HRT. The other two that you can take is you can take progesterone orally. Some people like this because it has a side effect of making people sleepy. So HRT, when you're going through the menopause, sometimes people can find sleeping a really, like, a really big problem.
Yeah, lots of people have, like, insomnia, don't they? And, like, waking up at night time.
So when I counsel people when they come through and I see them in, like, hysteroscopy clinic about their HRT and would you like us to fit a Myrina while you're here? And they're like, what would I stop if I'm going to have a progesterone coil? And I'd be like, oh, you can stop those progesterone tablets. And they're like, no. I like those. I sleep because of
those. But you couldn't have a coil and take the progesterone
tablets. I mean,
I don't think you'd need
to,
really.
Yeah. There's certain situations where you would do that if someone was bleeding, but you don't need to, not as part of HRT. So, you can take them orally, or you can have the progesterone as part of a patch. So that's when people are taking patches, but they've got two different types of patches. So they have different patches at different types of times of the month. So you have to remember that. I think the difficult thing with progesterone is remembering to take progesterone. If you've got a coil in, you've got the, and you're covered.
You don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry. But if you're taking the tablets or if you're taking the patch for your progesterone, you do need to remember to have it, because
is the patch something that you put on every day?
No, every so you do two a week. So it's every 2 to 3 days.
And where does it stick?
You can kind of put them wherever you like. A lot of people put them on the bottom. Some people, though, don't like patches because they don't find that they do stick.
I think you have to, you know, you can't use moisturiser, for example. You need to make sure your skin's clean and dry before you put it on. And if you're a very sweaty person, maybe that might be a bit of a
slide off.
Or allergic reaction to them. There's different ones, though. Again, not one size fits all, and we're not going into specific makes of these. But some are very small patches, some are bigger patches. Some people like different ones, basically. So the progesterone you can use in three kind of different kinds. And then to get to the estrogen, what Alison was saying before, you can have two different types of HRT. You can be on a continuous HRT, or you can be on a HRT where you bleed, so you have a monthly bleed.
Kind of like when you're taking, you know, you've got the option of contraceptive pills. You can take the progesterone pill or the mini pill, where you can take it every day.
Yeah.
And you might not bleed, or you might just have a little bit of bleeding every now and again.
Yeah.
Or you can have the combined pill where you take estrogen and progesterone together, and then you have a break and you have a withdrawal bleed. Kind of like that, but you can take both estrogen and progesterone and either take it continuously or take it and then have a break. And during that break, you would have a bleed.
So it's totally like that, but not quite as straightforward in the same because when you're taking it for menopausal symptoms, you can't choose whether you have a bleed or not in the beginning.
Yeah, whereas you can with the combined pill.
With combined pill, take it back to back. Take it back to back all the time and then have a random bleed and keep on taking it back to back.
Yeah.
It's not going to make any difference to you or your life or having a bleed. There are withdrawal bleeds.
Yeah.
It doesn't help with whether you're pregnant or not, because you shouldn't be if you're taking it properly. But it's just an annoying, like, it's stopping you having periods. HRT is not quite the same. If you've not stopped your periods properly, you have to go on a sequential HRT. So a HRT where you have a bleed. If not, you're bleeding all over the shop. Mm-hmm. So then you end up being referred in and having investigations, and it's like a really annoying cycle. And I think that's one of the big issues when people start HRT, is that they get put on a continuous HRT instead of a sequential HRT. Sequential means that you have a bleed. Continuous means that you don't have a bleed.
So it's quite often women who are kind of perimenopausal that will get put on sequential HRT.
Yeah.
Right, isn't it? So they've not stopped having periods yet, but they're having symptoms of menopause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the sequential HRT, which is estrogen and progesterone, they'll take it for 3 weeks, stop for a week, and have a bleed. But then it controls when you're going to have that bleed, and it should hopefully help with your symptoms.
And in this bleed, it's not because you're ovulating.
No, it's because of the withdrawal of the hormones.
Yeah. So it's protecting the line of your womb. It's helping with the symptoms of the menopause, but you're still going to have a bleed. And that's if you're taking kind of these progesterone preparations, so the tablets or the patches, where you change it kind of so that you have different patches. If you've got the Myrina in, fingers crossed, the progesterone coil, you shouldn't have any bleeding. So it's again just like what people want to have, but it is important that you go on the correct one for your stage of menopause. If you've not had periods for like a year, then you could go on a continuous and continue not to have periods.
Mm-hmm.
But if your periods are still kind of once every couple of months, or if you're having more periods than you usually were, then you definitely need to go on one where you've got a bleed, or you will be being investigated all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not worth it.
No, not fun. No. You can also have sprays, can't you, as well?
Have loads of stuff.
Yeah.
So the estrogen you can have in loads of different forms.
What's the spray? Where does it spray?
On your skin?
Like a body spray. So you can have estrogen in a spray, a gel, a patch, tablets. Tablets, and again, we'll go into this a bit more when we have our specialist HRT episode. Tablets are the ones that are the highest risk for all situations, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you're taking them orally and they have to go through your first pass metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be digested. These increase the risk of everything, but some people just want to be on tablets. So it's kind of that.
Yeah.
If you've had a discussion and you are appropriate, you're the appropriate weight, you've not had clots, there's lots of different things, then you could think about tablets. But most people, if you don't fall into the various little subsets, could take patches, gels, sprays.
Yeah.
So these are called topical, because they're administered topically
to your skin.
Yeah.
Is there a risk of it coming off? You know, say if you rubbed off on your clothes, or
yeah.
washed off in your partner. Or,
No, there's like, yes, totally. But there's like rules for everything. So they're just like, don't put clothes on for X number of minutes afterwards, depending on what you're using. And also,
skin fully dry before you put it on, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Don't be kind of rubbing it up against your partner straight
away. Sounds the same as fake tan.
Yeah. Oh my God. Probably is.
Probably doesn't smell like fake tan, though.
Biscuits. but yeah, each one will have its own kind of like, you need to leave this for however long before you can get dressed or do whatever. But people find them really good. And the patches, obviously, you have to stick with the dose in the patch. You can have like higher and lower doses, but it's difficult in a sense to change the dose. You would need to go back and see a medical practitioner. But with the sprays and the gels, you can kind of titrate them yourself a little bit better. So if you've got progesterone in any form, then the estrogen can be better titrated. So the gel, it's in one of those like pump kind of things. So you have two pumps and you can increase it depending on how much you
is
need.
Is there like such a thing as overdosing
yes.
on it? Like if someone did full body moisturizer.
Imagine.
If they take tan
accidentally too much estrogen.
Yeah, you wouldn't be a good colour. and also, yes. So you have to be on the right amount of estrogen for the right amount of progesterone that you've got. So you can't be increasing your estrogen with lots of different, like, oh, I've got some patches left over and I'll do my, like, pump
and a little spray.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't work like that. There's really strict guidelines with if you're on two doses, pumps of estrogen, you need to be on a tablet of progesterone a day if you're on continuous. There's very strict guidance with regards to that. Because if you're on a higher dose of estrogen, as I've said, it's just going to thicken that lining of the womb and we're going to be in problems.
So not beneficial to do that.
Not beneficial.
I guess you want the lining of your womb thin. That's like, unless you want to get pregnant, you want the lining of your womb thin for a better life.
Yeah. Out of the question at that point.
Yeah.
Well, people can get pregnant perimenopausal.
Really?
So you are still releasing an egg. And as Nick said before, you know, sometimes when that ovary gets battered, it might release two. so you can still get pregnant. The chances are lower, but it's still a possibility. And actually, that's when a lot of women get caught out because they think, oh, I'm probably menopausal now, and then you get a surprise baby at 46.
So you should carry on taking contraception if you don't want to be pregnant.
And also we should say that like HRT is not
contraception. I was just gonna say HRT
it doesn't work as contraception.
If someone has a Mariana coil as part of their HRT,
then that's fine,
that works as contraception.
Totally. I am heavily in agreement.
Another reason why the coil is just so great.
If you're going on HRT kind of topically with progesterone tablets, not contraceptive. So you can definitely get pregnant. And that's what we warn as well, not just, and I know we've said we'll go into this in a different episode, but that's what we warn our women with premature ovarian insufficiency, just because we've told them that they are potentially menopausal, there is still always a chance that they could get pregnant, because you can just randomly release an egg. So if they don't want to be pregnant, then they should be on contraception.
An interesting question. So if people are already on the extra progesterone and estrogen as part of the HRT, can they take the oral combined pill as their contraception, or is that like completely messing the hormones?
No, but a lot of people can take the progesterone-only pill.
Okay.
So there are ways and means for contraception, or they can use the combined pill as kind of part of HRT. So there's lots of different things that you can do. The combined pill, it's a bit different when you get older, because it comes with more risk. So we don't like people to stay on that for when they're kind of getting older and menopausal age, because risks of kind of blood clots and if people are carrying a bit of extra weight, those risks go up even further. So combined pill, actually, we don't use that much when people are older. Progesterone-only pill gets used a lot more, or a coil, or some people, like a lot of people,
condoms
or their partners will have had a vasectomy. So they don't need contraception, or they're not in a relationship anymore. There's lots of reasons why they wouldn't need contraception, but you do need to make sure, if you're having kind of a consultation about HRT, that contraception is covered, because I think a lot of people think that HRT is contraception, and it's not.
I feel like when you grow up hearing the estrogen progesterone in part of the pill, it would be easy to assume.
Oh yeah,
it kind of follows logically, even though it's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that is kind of a myth situation of no, you need contraception if you don't want the baby.
Yeah, you can get pregnant and no, HRT is not contraception.
So I think they were the main bits that we needed to get across, that you need, I know we've talked about testosterone very briefly, but that you need estrogen and progesterone if you're going to kind of help with symptoms. I think you had some questions.
Yeah, we've got lots of questions.
Which we love.
Let's have a look. See what we've got. I think a quick one, just because we've touched on testosterone a little bit. Yeah. People have said, like, will it make them aggressive?
Yeah.
Will it make you more manly? Things like that. Mm-hmm. Does it have those effects?
Isn't it? So the testosterone at the doses that it should be prescribed at. So if it is your, you know, you have low sex drive and you've seen a medical professional and they've prescribed testosterone at a low dose, it shouldn't cause those things.
But okay.
If you take more, then yes, if it you can have any other side effects.
No, it definitely can. And that's why we did touch on it before. People get kind of that rush of testosterone and they want it again and again. It's the same with is it B12 injections that people have sometimes, and then they have a shorter gap when they have them again and again, because it gives you kind of and so you need, you think that you need more, but people have their testosterone checked and we're like, ooh, that is high. So yes, totally, and you need to be careful with stuff like that, because actually if it's not helping you at the doses that it should be helping you, then it's probably not helping you. No. Like
Females naturally have testosterone?
Yes.
Yes.
It is produced.
Yes. I feel like I should have remembered that from science.
That's an unknown thing, really, though. A lot of people don't know that. People think females, estrogen, progesterone, males, testosterone. But actually, women do produce testosterone, and it comes from your ovaries.
Yeah.
And it's always been there.
Not as much as men.
Not as much as men.
So a question that we had is thoughts about HRT for women under 45 to help with perimenopausal symptoms.
Okay, so this is kind of an easy one in a sense because of what we discussed before. So if you've come to see me and you've kind of said, I want to check if I'm menopausal because I'm getting night sweats every night and I've gotten all these different symptoms, then I think it goes back to that thing of, well, if your FSH isn't high, then it's going to be still cycling if you're still having periods. So the FSH isn't going to be maintained high until you're not having periods. So it's that treating the person and the symptoms, not treating the diagnosis, which is what you said before.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of treating the person as a whole. If they've come to the decision after you've discussed about risks, the benefits, that they would like a trial of HRT, then I think that's totally fine. It's that whole, it's not going to cure everything in your life, but if you've got specific symptoms, then it really might help. So I think that's fine.
And you can definitely become perimenopausal around, you know, anything in your 40s. It's not, like I said, you know, it can be something that doesn't last very long, or it can last like 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and then you become menopausal. So if that's the cause of your symptoms and you want to try some HRT and you've had a chat with your doctor and it's safe, then
all approved.
Yeah, I think sometimes when people are younger, they can have other conditions that because menopause now is a little bit more at the forefront of people's thoughts, they can think it's menopause, but you could have a problem with your thyroid, or have like an iron deficiency that's making you tired, or you could have other things.
Yeah. So I think it's to rule those things out,
even just life.
Yeah, a hard week.
So I think it's a lot more important to rule those out when
Yeah,
a bit more out of the norm.
A funny one we got was, will my manager stop being moody when she starts HRT?
I mean, can't be guaranteed.
Again. maybe
it might
not,
just
hopefully. I mean, if it's due to menopause, but it could be a lot of other things.
Yeah. Maybe you're just a rubbish employee. You need to work your ideas up.
Another question we've had is, will HRT help with vaginal dryness and painful sex? Which I think we touched on briefly.
Yeah, so like the estrogen side of HRT should improve the vaginal wall elasticity, and the vulval skin should be kind of more robust. But you can also, you know, if you find that, I guess if you have vaginal dryness and you don't want HRT, you can also just use lubricants.
Yeah.
Which there's a lot of different brands. I think one of them is called Silk, like S-Y-L-K. There's lots of like kind of menopause-friendly brands, not just like your classic Durex, like, scary-looking lube.
Go back to Tesco. Teenager.
Yeah. So you can just use those things. But yes, the estrogen component of your HRT should improve the vulval vaginal dryness as
well. And you can have localised estrogen.
And you can have
localised. So some people, estrogen. If your only symptom of menopause is the vaginal atrophy, so the vaginal changes, of the vulval changes, then you can just use localised estrogen. And actually, most people can use localised estrogen.
Is that like in the form of
creams or pessaries?
Yeah. And it's only a very low dose of estrogen.
It's not
well,
even just that, like it doesn't get absorbed systemically. It's literally just working.
So would you not need to have
the
progesterone at the same time?
Not necessarily.
Okay. No.
Is estrogen in, you know, you see adverts for like creams for vaginal dryness?
I don't
probably
think
not.
It's usually, it would need to be just prescribed.
In, yeah.
Okay.
So those things are probably just lubricants, yeah.
Yeah, some people can, it doesn't have to be just menopausal that you can have a drop in estrogen. So a lot of people, after they had a baby, you go into kind of a menopausal state because you're breastfeeding, so your estrogen levels are low and you can have really bad vaginal dryness after that. So that can be another point where people could use localized vaginal estrogens. And people that are high risk, so wouldn't be able to have normal, inverted commas, HRT, would be able to have vaginal estrogens. So if that's like your main symptom, don't go on a systemic HRT.
Yeah.
Don't be using patches and coils and all this kind of stuff.
Keep
if that's
simple.
Your problem,
yeah.
use vaginal estrogen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it really can change like the architecture, so
really,
like the makeup of your vulva, like spectacularly in a short amount of time.
So you can have a spectacular vulva.
Exactly.
A spectacular vulva.
I mean, all vulvas are spectacular, but yeah, you could improve yours.
But realistically, so if people come to like the rapid access clinic sometimes and they can't tolerate a speculum examination to if they've had postmenopausal bleeding, they get given a vaginal estrogen, and when they come back for a hysteroscopy sometimes they're like, but totally fine. And I'm not saying it's like for everybody, but there are, you really can come back from these changes,
yeah.
and it really does help, does localise vaginal estrogen.
One thing we didn't actually mention is that one of the symptoms of menopause or perimenopause as a result of the low estrogen and the vaginal vulval atrophy or like thinning is that you can get UTIs and you can get bladder symptoms. So topical estrogen can be really good for that.
Yeah.
So you might see some women who have like, you know, recurrent UTIs, check that there's no medical causes for those.
Mm-hmm.
It might be due to the vaginal dryness. You can just give topical estrogen, and again also you see some women who have sort of like prolapse, they can benefit from just vaginal estrogen and not needing the systemic HRT as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's,
it's a really good option.
It's
for some
really
people.
Well-placed thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
UTIs, urinary tract infections.
Yes, sorry, urinary tract infections.
I don't know if that is a well-known,
yeah.
but
and prolapse as well.
But prolapse, so like when you know, the womb is kind of hanging a little bit low down in the vagina, or maybe the bladder or the bowel are kind of coming down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So often in women who've had vaginal deliveries, maybe got a little bit older, low estrogen, the pelvic floor can be a bit more loose, and then these things can happen. But pelvic floor exercises are great, and also vaginal estrogen can help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, another question was, which HRT is the safest to get? So like pills, patches, coils, gels. And also, is it better to have more localised? So like having a coil, is that more beneficial?
Yeah,
so I guess we will touch a lot more into specifics of safety of certain HRTs for certain women, but overall, as Nick mentioned before, the pills have more risks of things like blood clots. So if you're taking HRT not via a pill, so by a patch or a cream or a spray or a coil, it's generally a bit safer.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the second part of the question?
Just that if the localised hormones works better.
Yeah, so it depends what your symptoms are. Everyone's a bit different.
Yeah.
Localised progesterone is really good at keeping the lining of the womb thin. So if one of your problems is erratic bleeding, then that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone is different and it depends what your symptoms are. And you would have a discussion with your GP or your menopause specialist to see what HRT would be best for your symptoms.
On the whole, the safest form of HRT for everybody is topical.
Yeah.
So
On your skin. And the coil is very safe.
Yeah.
We've been asked, is there any benefits of starting HRT earlier or later? Or is it just independent purpose.
Yeah, I think it's kind of coming back to that symptoms. So if you're coming and you're struggling and you're not able to work very well because you're not sleeping, because you're having hot sweats and having to change the bed and various different things, or you can't have intercourse anymore because of vaginal dryness, you want to treat the symptoms when they're there. And the symptoms are treatable. It's not kind of a progressive disease that if you haven't caught it early, we need to kind of get in there. So I think it's like a person dependent. I'm not a believer in that you need to have a magic number on a blood test, but it's kind of a really drilling down to actually what is your big problem and why do you think HRT will help, and let's think about what the best HRT would be for you in this situation.
Yeah, and then I guess as part of that, people have asked if they're on HRT and it's dealing with the symptoms, so sort of almost masking their menopause, how long should they stay on it for? How will they know when it's like safe for them to come off it and be menopausal?
Good question.
That is a good question. And I think it's got a difficult answer because there isn't an answer. Some people just kind of think, oh, I've had enough, I don't want to take HRT anymore. Or they'll have a postmenopausal bleed and they'll be like, oh, I can't be bothered, I actually don't know if it's helping, or I don't know what it's supposed to be doing, but I think I feel fine. And some people, after risk v benefits discussion and after kind of a checkup, will stay on HRT for a prolonged length of time.
Stay on it for a while.
It depends like what else you've got going on, and it depends about like how you think it has affected your quality of life. Most people don't. Most people are on it for kind of a short period of time, maybe 5 years. But I have also seen people that are in their 80s that are on HRT and would not be giving up there. Some of them are like, I will not be giving up my quarter of a patch every other week. Like they cut the patches and do various different things. But it's I think it's that if you've had a discussion about the risk versus the benefits and you're like, okay, well, I am prepared to take those risks because I think my life is so much better when I'm on HRT, then it's those discussions.
What works
like,
for you,
You know, people are individuals and they have their own minds, don't they?
No definite right answer to that.
No start and stop times.
Also, probably just good to mention, because obviously we talked about people who are on HRT and also might need contraception because they're not menopausal yet. When would you stop your contraception is probably a question that we get asked. And generally, so if you're on HRT, if you've passed 55, then you would be classed as menopausal, even if you know your symptoms are masked and you've not had any bleeding because you've been on HRT or something else. So if you're on contraception, you could stop that then at that point for not getting pregnant. But you can, if you want to, carry on your HRT for longer.
That answered my next question.
Oh, did it?
I didn't even know that as well.
And can I only use HRT if I've got bad menopause symptoms?
Not bad menopause symptoms. Again, like
it's all,
I think
like,
some people
subjective, are very isn't it? It's up to you.
And it's very if you have a specific symptom, let's think of a specific answer. Just as we said about that, having kind of just vaginal problems. If you've just got vaginal problems, don't go on systemic HRT. Just go on something for that problem.
So if someone had no like major menopause symptoms, it wasn't affecting their quality of life, is there any point in them
going on HRT? No, you don't
have to. So HRT really isn't for everybody.
No, it's not for everybody. Definitely not.
And our disclaimer really is that this episode is for women who've decided they want it and they can have it. They know the risks and the benefits and this is what we think would be useful for you to know. But you absolutely don't need to have HRT if you don't want it or have no symptoms, if you're very lucky.
And we did get quite a few questions about the risks of breast cancer, if breast cancer has been in the family before. But we were going to say this is something that we're going to touch on with a specialist in an up and coming episode.
Totally agree. And different people have different risk ratios with breast cancer. That's why it's quite difficult to say one size fits all, because one size doesn't even fit most with this situation. It would depend on a personal history of breast cancer versus a family history of breast cancer versus a family history of breast cancer in somebody who had it when they were 35. You know, like there's so many different layers to this that there isn't a one size fits all. And that's why with women that are unsure, then it needs like a proper counselling with regards to if they can go on HRT. Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a little bit of a like teaser for when we have our next menopause episode with a very special guest, which will be revealed at some point. But yeah, we will answer those kind of more complex, personal, difficult situation HRT questions in that.
So I think we've answered all of the questions that we've got so far.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But if anyone has any other questions, you're very welcome to send us a message because we can ask our specialist.
We need to think about our next episode. So our next episode on the back of this one will be vulva and vaginal health.
Yes. So our next episode is going to be down there care, vulva and vaginal wellness. So it feeds on quite nicely from this. We'll be talking all things vulva, vagina. What is the vulva? What is the vagina? How do I look after it? Problems, normal, abnormal. All will be discussed in our next episode. So please tune in and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, quick disclaimer, all opinions and views expressed in the podcast are our own and have not affiliated with where we work. And information given shouldn't be taken as medical advice.
And you can follow us on Instagram at Between Two Ovaries.
And please follow us on wherever you are listening to our podcast.
Thank you.